So I'm going to invite Sam to come up. Sam, as I told you, is a financial advisor for Everence, and he can tell you a little bit about what he does and what Everence does, as well as share the message with you. He was at Celebration with us yesterday, shared what I thought was a very pertinent short word from the parable of the talents. And maybe that'll get included in your message, I don't know, but I thought it was a really good little reflection that he had in the past week. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from Sam. So.
Good morning. That's not going to stay.
Oh, the secret stash. Check that out.
Nate, is that your cup, or is that from last week? Hey, good morning. I'm glad to be here with you guys today. I can't see you guys over there because there's a glare coming through the window, so you're welcome to fall asleep. I won't know it. Hey, I want to bring greetings from Goshen, Indiana, and tell you a little bit about myself before we get started here. I was a pastor straight out of the gate. I went to college and seminary to become a pastor and served two churches in Ohio for about 10 years. And got out of Ohio as fast as I could and moved back to Goshen, Indiana, where I grew up. Bit of Ohio trivia. Anybody from Ohio? One person. I'm sorry. You can go like this. Ohio State fans are the most obnoxious fans out of any college sport. I will give this mug to the first person that raises their hand and gives me the name of the team that destroyed the Ohio State Buckeyes yesterday in college football. Does anybody know? It was Purdue. The Ohio person got it, so I guess this is a bittersweet gift, but here you go. It holds a lot of hot chocolate because... What was that? What was that coming from the clouds this morning? Was that snow? Can I use that four-letter S word here this morning? Oh, my goodness. It's already getting there. Anybody a fan of sci-fi movies, science fiction movies? I am. I like to fantasize about things that can't happen and watch all of the special effects in movies. I like all the superhero movies, DC Comics and Marvel, and I like Star Wars, and a number of years ago, there was a series called The Matrix, and there were three movies, and in 2003, the second of The Matrix trilogy, anybody see The Matrix? It's kind of a weird movie with a lot of kung fu. I remember going to see it with some friends 15 years ago, the second of the trilogy, Reloaded, or what is it called, Reloaded? While I was in seminary with some seminary buddies. And in this movie, if you haven't seen it, the enemy machines were pressing in on this remnant human population that was hiding underground trying to survive. And it was these machines were causing great fear and panic. And the machines were a very powerful threat, seemingly too much for the humans. And they couldn't be stopped. They could only be blocked or avoided. And these machines were nearly at the front door of this vulnerable human city that they called Zion. And there's this scene in the movie where the human spiritual leader, his name's Morpheus, he's also Cowboy Curtis in Pee-wee's Playhouse, just kind of how things played out in his career. But he gets up and he speaks in front of all of the people. And it's probably one of the better speeches in all of movie history. Just this one little scene. Take a look. Do we have it? Does it work? Let's take a look at it here quick this morning. We were having trouble with it. It's a very small movie. Oh, there it goes.
True, what many of you have heard, the machines have gathered an army, and as I speak, That army is drawing nearer to our home. Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here before you now, truthfully, unafraid. Why? Because I believe something you do not? No. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. I remember that for 100 years they have sent their armies to destroy us. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us send a message to that army. Tonight, let us shake this cave. Tonight, let us tremble these halls of earth, steel, and stone. Let us be heard from Red Tor to Black Sky. Tonight, let us make them remember. This is Zion, and we are not afraid!
It's a cool movie. I have three daughters. They're, my oldest daughter turns 12 in 2 weeks, and then I have, her name's Abby, and then I have Hannah, who is 10, and Mallory, who is 8. Funny story. Totally unrelated to this. So when we picked our first two daughters' names, it was all biblical names and stuff, and we were praying for a boy, so we didn't have a girl name. And 2 weeks before she came, early, we came up with Mallory as a name. And I go, okay, that's, it's not biblical, but it sounds cool, so we'll go with that. Mallory came to me the other day, and she goes, Daddy, I have bad news. I go, what's that? She's 8, almost 9. She goes, my name means unfortunate. It really does. Oh, that stinks. Didn't win with that one. So, I held back my laughter, and because she's stuck with that name the rest of her life. But anyway, I don't know why that came into my head. I'm thinking about my kids this morning. Sometimes when it comes to our finances, or maybe just even our circumstances in life, fear can cripple us. Fear steals our joy. Fear deflates our ambition. Fear causes us to second guess good decisions. Fear lies. Fear shakes our faith. Fear makes us do some really silly things sometimes. Fear encourages us to put up walls. Fear changes our course of action, and so we avoid otherwise good and healthy things. In Matthew 25, Jesus told the parable of the talents, the name that we gave it, but it was just a parable for him. You don't have to turn there this morning because we know this parable, right? Three guys. Master goes away, leaves his three servants that are part of his household. All three of them are part of the household. He leaves his three servants in charge of his stuff while he's gone. The one servant, 5 talents. One servant, 2 talents. And the last, 1 talent. The ones with the 5 and 2 talents did well. Their master was pleased with them. They were focused on the trust that their master had in them. They were faithful. The one with the 1 talent, things didn't fare so well for him. In fact, do you remember the first words out of his mouth when the master came back and asked him for an account? If you were there yesterday, you can't answer this question. Do you remember the first thing the guy with the 1 talent said to his master when he returned?
I was afraid of him.
I was afraid. See, the one thing that I learned studying this passage this week, it wasn't so much that he hadn't got a return on the things that the master had given him to be in charge of. Because the returns of these guys were different. He hadn't lost anything. He took care of what the master had given him. But the thing that we want to learn from this parable that sometimes we miss is the first guys realized that they had been entrusted with these things, that the master trusted them and so provided that they take care of things. And they responded because they knew that they were trusted with a great thing. The third servant, the one with the one talent, was afraid. And that's what was upsetting to the master. He was afraid. All three were part of the master's household. All three had been provided for. They were fine. But the one, because of fear, produced no fruit and received no blessing and was actually kicked out. You see, the place of stewardship in our faith walk obligates us to focus on our relationship with God first. We all have differing amounts of finances. We have different jobs and different incomes and things. But the thing is, God entrusts all of us to take care of those things that he's given to us. We're all part of God's household. From that, we know that we are loved, we are blessed, we are provided for, and that comes our reaction of faithfulness in everything we do. Financial wellness, financial stewardship is not something that we initiate. Not when we consider it in a spiritual context. I'm here today, not with a magic secret on getting your personal finances in order or even how to make your church more sustainable in the years to come. Financial stewardship in both contexts is a reaction to the love that God already has for us. And I want to talk to you more today about what it means and the impact it has on our walk with Jesus. Can we pray again? Is that all right? God, we pause this moment today before we dig into your scripture, into your word, to enter your classroom. Because we know that it's not by ourselves that we can be taught, but Father, through your Holy Spirit. So God, this morning we enter your classroom to be touched by you, to be taught by you, to be tickled by you, in order that we might be transformed by you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at the first 9 verses in Ephesians. I like Ephesians. It's a short book. You go through college and school and seminary long enough, the short books are a breath of fresh air. So Ephesians chapter 2, we're gonna dance around a little bit. If you've got one of those cool little ribbons in your Bible, you maybe want to tuck that here for a second this morning because we're going to move away and come back to it later. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and following. I've got the NIV, the old one, this morning. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, who also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you've been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. I want to tell you something today. As a brother in Christ, just a normal dude, not as an Everence advisor, but as your brother. You are the light of the world. Each one of you in here. You are the light of the world. May not feel like it right now. I understand that there's going on a lot going on in the church, a lot going on in the denomination, your life maybe. It's okay. You are still the light of the world. You are still here. Like in the movie Click, sometimes life can get pretty loud. Financially, you can be at a place where you're just scraping by, kind of like what Pastor was talking about this morning, where maybe the crops don't come in. We still work at it. The road ahead can seem pretty uncertain, perhaps because it's of health concerns or relationship concerns or just social politics. Let's leave it at that. It can be scary. There can be panic. Fear can set in and try to rob you of your focus. Take a moment. Stop. Just take a breath. Look around at each other today. It's okay. Sometimes you can see the backs of the heads of people and you recognize them by the back of their head. But look around and look at each other's faces. You are still here. We're here together, right? Your light is not out. Your lampstand has not been removed. At one time, there was reason to peer. There was reason to panic. But when you have Jesus in your life, you are made alive. Remember who you have in Jesus, that common ground. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Why should we fear? Kind of like the movie Clip. We're still here. We've fought this battle for a long time, and yet we remain, right? There's going to be one more thing trying to steal your flame here as a congregation, as a follower of Jesus. There's always something pressing. Satan is not just playing games with you. He's trying to take you out. He's like a lion. He's not looking for a little nibble. He's looking to kill you. That's how real this is. There's always going to be something, and yet this battle that we face in life, there's no reason to fear. We are still here. Your light has not gone out. Jesus assures us that when we're with him, he's got it. We don't have to worry. In fact, in Luke, this is what he said. Luke chapter 12, you can turn with me if you want. Chapter 12, verse 22 through 25. Jesus then said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or no barn, and yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? That's for the birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? I tell my kids, don't worry about it. If you worry about it now, is it really going to change anything? Is your life going to be any different if you worry about it? What can we do? Since you can't do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? In fact, not only are we saved by grace, not by anything that we've done, but we are saved from that old life for a new life. Does that make sense? We're saved from the old life for a new life. Many of us memorized Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 when we were kids. Anybody? Anybody memorized Ephesians 2? Yeah. We always leave off the tail, though. Go back to Ephesians, because verse 10 is right there, too. There's more. Verse 8 says, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. God provided that. Not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are saved from something for something. You've been called for a specific purpose. And if God calls you to something, he's going to give you everything you need to do the things he's called you to do. You might want to write that one down. There's space in the back of your bulletin. God will give you everything you need to do the things that he's called you to do. four things I want you to remember today about finding financial freedom. The first thing is, if God says not to worry about your needs, then don't worry. Why does it seem, though, that we never... Why does it seem like we never have enough, though? How are we going to meet budget this fall? How are we going to pay for this bill at home? Sorry we can't buy that because we just didn't have enough money for it, right? My kids are always asking me to buy stuff. The reason we don't have any money is because you guys keep asking to buy silly things, right? And you keep breaking the stuff that you have. I grew up with all brothers. I have a lot of hair in my house. Girls. It's fun. If God says not to worry about your needs, then don't worry about it. He's going to give you everything you need to do the things he's called you to do. Why does it seem like sometimes, though, there isn't enough? Well, maybe the first step is getting over the fear of just asking for help. Truth is, God's provision is always complete. That's the truth. God won't call you to something and say, well, good luck, just make it work. He's going to provide for it, right? You have to. The birds don't have to worry about what they're going to eat or what they're going to wear, and we're more important than them. You see, when our minds are focused on the little things, when something big comes up, and our faith is based on what we have and our own resources, then when something catastrophic comes up, our faith can't hold up because our faith is based on our own abilities. And in my mind, that's not faith. To me, faith is relying on God, trusting God when you don't have any resources of your own to do so. Why would you need faith if you could do it? Faith is utterly trusting God that he's got it. That's faith. And if we just have a little bit of that, imagine what God can do. Because it's not our power that it's happening. God said, I already gave you this. I already provided what you need. I'm already taking care of you. This is the way. Let's do it. And so when something big comes up, we know already that we don't have any resources to combat it. But what we do know is we know the one that's going to take care of it because he's provided yesterday for 100 years and he's going to do it again. Right? Sometimes we also, so the truth is God's provision is always complete. The reality, though, is sometimes we send that provision in the wrong places. And sometimes we get into debt, and sometimes our budgets don't line up, and we're spending money in places we shouldn't. Everence, as a financial institution, offers free debt and budget counseling. I've got a little table in the back. There's a brochure there. Lady with some pretty big, crazy hair. She's got like a reddish shirt on. And that brochure has information in it. If you've got credit card debt, if you want to pay off student loans, if you want to pay off pay for a mortgage or prepare for a mortgage, Everence actually pays for a service through Lutheran Social Services out of Minnesota and provides that for you. They'll help you set up a budget. They'll try to figure out how things go. They'll do a debt management plan. They'll call your credit companies and bring the interest rates down. It's a crazy awesome service. There's an article on online actually that Everence wrote an article about a client of mine in another state that we saved from bankruptcy utilizing this service. And some other things. Pretty tragic story. If you go to praxismutualfunds.com and look in under the stories section, you can read about, I think we called her like Betty or Sarah or something. I don't know. Changed her name. But this is a really good service. For the church, I recommend reading the book Simple Church by Eric Geiger and Tom Rainer. Has anybody read Simple Church? Have you come across it? They talk about four things: clarity, movement, alignment, and focus, and only doing the things that God has called you to do and not doing those other things. As our churches grow and shrink in size, sometimes we don't have the capacity anymore to do the things that we once did, and it's okay to stop doing things in order to focus on just those specific things that God calls us to. Not every ministry has to live forever. The second thing is that if you need God's help, He wants you to ask for it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said this too, because it's in red. No, it's Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, Jesus said, "Ask, and it'll be given to you." You know, when you look at this in Greek, if I was from down south, I'd say y'all. Anybody from down south? Y'all. This is what it says in here. It says y'all. It's plural, the you. In our English, we have the same word for many people and one person. But in this passage, all the yous are plural. So if you're reading it in the Greek, it says, "Ask and it'll be given to y'all. Seek and y'all will find. Knock and the door will be opened to y'all." See, Jesus is speaking to a crowd, right? He's not speaking to just you. He's speaking to a whole crowd of people on the mountain. And so he's telling everybody, they're all included. It's not just one person. Verse 8, he says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, he'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who's not evil, in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." We can learn a few things from this passage. The first thing is God's a loving Father. The second thing is, God is a provider. And the third thing is, God wants us to pray for anything we need to do those things that He's called us to do. At Everenson, we work with people financially. I mean, you can work with any financial company. Everenson just happens to do it in a Christian kind of context. So when we work with people with their finances, we use a tool called the Everenson Vine. Before we discuss finances, how much money do you want to invest? What kind of life insurance policy do you need? All that kind of stuff. The first thing we do is we talk about what God has put in your heart. What's God's plan and purpose for your life? Your mission, your passion, your calling. What is it that He's provided you for? Right? Because we're saved for something. He's given you these provisions. Why are we investing these things? Why are we saving? Why are we building a retirement plan? Why are we getting life insurance or long-term care insurance, any of that stuff? Why are we getting those policies? What's it for? Because God has called you from something for something. And so before we talk about any of the other stuff, we got to know what we're building towards. What's God doing in your life? In their book, Your New Money Mindset, Hewitt and Moline say that prayer not only recognizes God's power to supply our needs, but He also gives us time to let His wisdom rule. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Third thing, God is always faithful, even when we're not. Is God always faithful? Yes. Are we always faithful to God? No. I wish. How many God times do we say, "God, I got this. Watch me. Hold my drink." You know, then we do something stupid. We've seen the videos. They're hilarious. I wish we had enough time to just watch a few today. Stupid things people do. Falling down. Have you seen the one with the guys on the stretchers? Where the athletes get injured on the field and the guys come out with a stretcher and he picks it up. The guy's head is at the end of the stretcher and he keeps lifting him up into his butt. And keeps picking him up, and then he drops him, and the other guy, they strap him onto the stretcher to carry him off the field, and they're hurrying, and they drop him, and he falls over, and he can't move, so he just falls right on his face. Absolutely hilarious. God, I got this. You know, wonder what sometimes when we say that to God and we trail off the course a little bit, kind of like I'm doing now, and say, God, you know, I think I got this on my own. And so we try to do something, and God's going, here he goes again. Look at Sam. Hey, guys, come over. This is going to be funny. Watch what Sam does. You know, and then Sam messes up, and then Sam says, God, help me. I need your help. Well, if you would have done it this way, you know. Third thing is God is always faithful, even when we're not. When we steer off path, guess where God is? He's off that path with us. Because he's not going to leave us. He says, okay, we're going over here. I know it's better over here, remember? I told you. But you didn't listen, but I'm here still. He's a redeeming God. He's a restoring God. He's a God who can make good things happen out of bad situations. God didn't make that bad situation happen, but he's there in the midst of it to pull you out of it. God can't make bad things happen. It's God's fault. He's punishing me. Sometimes we give God too much credit. And like the father who longed for his prodigal son's return, God will never leave us or abandon us. He's always seeking us, always pursuing us. And when we figure it out, he's going to lavish on us with that provision. Right? God, I'm out of money again. It's okay, he's got more. But he's going to guide us back. We pray that it's gentle. You may have heard the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Anybody know that one? It's one of those moldy oldies, right? It's from that great book in the Old Testament, Lamentations. I don't know if I can even find Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah. There it is. Wow. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and following. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Have you found yourself in a pit? Wait quietly. Salvation's coming. 27, it's good for a man to bear the yoke while he's young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it in him. Let him bury his face in the dust, there may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, let him be filled with disgrace. We make poor decisions from time to time. Decisions that don't align with the mission that God has called us to. The good news is, God is a God of second chances, and third, and fourth. If you're a Cubs fan like me, you're used to saying, there's always next year. Had kind of a rough end to this year. There's always another at bat with God. He's always going to be there with us. God is always faithful, even when we're not. It's not over. It's okay to get up and start again. Hope is not lost. It's not the end of the line. God is still there, encouraging us along, providing strength for tomorrow when we stumble today. The fourth thing that I want you to remember, tips for finding financial freedom. The fourth thing is that God can be impressive in your life too. Have you ever heard the stories about how God just has answered someone else's prayer and they're all excited, and they're telling everybody about it. Hey, God answered my prayer. And you're wondering, why doesn't he answer my prayers like that? Anybody? I mean, it's a real deal. So, after I was in the ministry, felt God leading us back to Goshen. Things at the church were going well. I was in a little town called Bryan, Ohio. Anybody know anybody from Archbold, Ohio? It's about 20 minutes from Archbold. So that's where I was. There's great places to eat in Archbold and buy cheap furniture. We moved, had been at the church was finally growing, it was declining and things were bad. We were there for 7 years and I just kept praying, okay, God, what are we doing this year? You know, what's the next big plan? And I got nothing. And so my wife and I went on a marriage retreat and driving back, it's just praying, you know, one of those things you do when you're driving and it's quiet. I don't like country music, so she would always listen to country music, and it was nice because it was just a quiet drive. I'm more of a rock and roll kind of guy. By the way, drummer, whoever was, yeah, nice job. You got a good one. So, too bad about the electronic ones, but, you know. Just what you got. It's the card that you draw sometimes. This room would really crack a snare. I'm a drummer too. So anyway, we're driving home from South Carolina and I'm praying to God, what are we doing? And he said, I want you to move to Goshen. I go, that's great. What are we doing there? Is there a church? Is there, you know, is there, it's this great job. You know, what's happening? He said, I'll tell you when we get there. I'm like, okay. So I started looking for jobs and there were no churches open, and I'm ordained in the Brethren Church out of Ashland, Ohio. I'm sorry, I'm not Mennonite. My parents were, but anyway. So we're moving back home, and we basically left on good terms in Bryan. There was nothing wrong happening at the church, but it was time to leave. And so we moved home, and I had no job, and neither did my wife, and we had no place to live up until about 2 weeks before we moved. I spent 6 months looking for a job. Every Friday on my day off, I drove out. Nothing. The only thing I could find was real estate, because the real estate agent we were working with to find a place to live said, hey, you should work for me. And so I got my real estate license, and I sold houses for 3 years. And I remember it was in March. It was one Monday morning. I was accustomed to going to a local bakery to do devotions before I went into the office. And I remember during my devotional time praying to God, God, on the way out this morning, this is how God and I talk. On the way out this morning, Nicole said, hey, we have this stack of bills and we have no money to pay for it. You need to do something. I was like, that's great. I'll whip out my money tree and just pay those things. I said, God, I have no listings. I have no buyers that I'm working with. I actually have nobody to call today to be a buyer or list a house. I got nothing. And we moved out here on faith. We trusted you. So this is your problem. Those bills that are at home, I'll just give them to you. You can take care of it. Let me know if I can do anything in the process, but your problem. You brought us here. It's your fault. Let me know what I can do. But I trust you. I'm still here. I'm hanging with you. Just, we got this thing. That week, I listed 10 properties. It was absolutely amazing. By Thursday evening it was actually Friday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I was still doing paperwork for some of these listings. And I was like, God, I can't handle this much. This is too much. And they're like, hang on a second. I know I prayed for provision, but this is more than I can handle right now, you know? And then I was saying, okay, you got this. You got this. You see, there's stories like that that I'm going, man, God, I wish, why don't you give me the job like what's-his-name has, and they got this nice place to live, and they're driving these awesome cars, and I've given my life to you to serve the church, and we don't have nice cars. We don't have great places to live. In fact, it was hard to find a place to live, you know, because pastors don't, We sacrifice a lot. We'll just say that. And so, you know, God, what gives? Why can't my life be like everybody else's? And that was the reminder for me that God is saying, you know what, I got this. Just have faith. Work through this. You see, for me, that morning, do you know where the book of Habakkuk is? Anybody, that's your favorite book? Let me wrap up with this, because this is mine. Habakkuk, find Matthew, hang a left, It's a little bit right before Matthew. If you can't find it, it's on the screen. But Habakkuk is this interesting book in the Minor Prophets that things are really, really bad in Israel. And Habakkuk is this prophet, and he's praying to God. And this is one of those rare cases where God doesn't give an answer. He doesn't, there's no happy ending where I will save you, you know, just speaks to Moses, and there's the whole let my people go thing, and off to the promised land. Habakkuk doesn't get that. He says, God, things are really, really bad. And God goes, yeah, and they're about to get worse. And this little tiny prayer of Habakkuk's in chapter 3 just jumps out at me, because there's no promise of anything getting better. Nothing to really look forward to. Oh, if we can just endure right now, it'll get to that point. I don't know what the future holds. And this is Habakkuk's prayer. On Shiggy enough. He's getting shiggy with it. Habakkuk says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. And in wrath, remember mercy. Because sometimes it's our fault, right? There's always refining in our life that needs to be made. So we pray, God, in your wrath, as you correct us, be merciful. I know that I'm not doing everything right, and I fall off the track sometimes. So as you bring me back on, be gentle, right? But what Habakkuk says is, God, I know what you're capable of. I know what you can do. I've known the stories. I look back and I know for 100 years you've been faithful. And do we have any hope that anybody else has? Is there this magic secret to coming out of the hole, whether it's a financial hole or just an uncertainty in life? Is there any trick? No, but what we know is God has been faithful in the past. And if we ask him to be faithful in the future and in the present, he'll do it. Because God is always faithful, even when we're not. And God can be impressive in your life, too. Make this your prayer. Circle it in your Bible. You see, my Bible's got notes all over the place. I highlighted this thing. In fact, those decorative signs that people are putting in their living room, they're making those in northern Indiana now, and it's this fashion thing. It's right. Sometimes you put it on shiplap. But I have this in my living room. So when I'm sitting there going, okay, what are we doing? I remember this prayer, and it's mine now. God, I know what you're capable of. You, that 10 listing thing, that was awesome. Do it again, Daddy. You know, just be gentle as you correct me. So let me wrap up with this. Finding freedom anyway requires faith in God. Trust him because he already trusts you. The second thing is it requires overcoming fear. Sometimes it's as simple as asking for help. And the third thing that it requires is prayer. God wants to help you. He's already freed you from bondage. We have no reason to die. We've been made alive in Jesus Christ. We are still here, and so is he. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time and these challenges from Scripture. God, sometimes we face things in life when there's no end in sight, when the road turns and we don't know what's ahead. And sometimes that's scary. You know I don't like surprises, and many of us don't. God, help us to trust you all the time. Not just when it's easy, but when it's hard too. Remind us that you trust us, that you are there with us, and that we don't have to fear because you got this. God, as we go from this place today and we meet together in Sunday school or we go home or wherever we're headed, continue to nudge us and remind us and tickle us and remind us that you are there, present beside us, and we're not alone. So there's reason to hope because we don't have to carry this load ourselves. God, thank you for that free gift. Allow us to shine our light bright, to make a difference in somebody else's life, and to share the fact that because we have hope, they can have hope too. We pray these things in the mighty power of Jesus Christ. Amen.